Welcome to the Back 9 Report, presented by eDraft.com.
Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of the Back 9 Report, presented by eDraft.com. We go live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time and check in on the world of golf to bring you the latest news, insights, analysis, interviews. Hey, we cover anything and everything golf. My name is Carlos Torres. Like every week, I'm alongside my co-host, Fred Alvader. Fred, hi, how are you today?
I'm fantastic, Carlos. Great weekend of golf last weekend. Matt Every calmly made an 18-foot birdie putt at the 72nd hole to repeat at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. When he struggled to even make cuts after his win last year, he lost 37 pounds and began working with Sean Foley. Evidently, it worked. 54-hole leader Henrik Stenson used a 3-wood off most of the tees of Bay Hill, but he and Hoffman were put on the clock at number 9, which resulted in 2 3-putt greens for the Swede, and a hot Henrik was not a happy camper. Another teen, 19-year-old Yoo Kim from South Korea, birdied 5 of her last 8 holes to win the Founders Cup on the LPGA Tour on Sunday. She finished 3 shots clear of Stacey Lewis and moves to number 4 in the world, Carlos. Another teenager right up there at the top on the ladies. And we have a fantastic interview tonight with writer, director, and producer of the new movie, The Squeeze, due out April 17th. I'm excited. Let's go.
I'm excited, but you know what? What's more important? I have to say something to everybody that's listening out there. Fred Alvader. His birthday today is home for him. This song, Fred, is home for
him. We gathered here to wish you happy birthday. May you bask in the good wishes that we give. We wish you lots of luck, though agents said to suck. It's better than the next alternative. Growing old can surely have its drawbacks. 3 flights of stairs can make you pant and wheeze. And you never get that far when you want to take the car, because you can't remember where you put the keys. You're old.
I'm going to stop
this
it there
so
because, you know, I'm going to stop it there. I just don't want to throw you under the bus. You know, all those things I know is true, but I don't want anybody else to know about them. But really, I want to wish you the best of birthdays. May there be many, many are to come. But I just have one question to you. I know somebody's turning 100 very soon. Is it you or is it our show? Who is it? Give me some
Carlos,
details.
I feel 100 some days, but we're going to have our 100th Back 9 report on April the 14th, the Tuesday after the Masters. And in honor of that, Carlos, we're going to have a huge giveaway. We've got 5 Antigua shirts. We've got 3 putter grips from Cork Tree. We've got a dozen Wilson Dual golf balls from United Golf Network. And we've got more golf balls from Absolute Golf. So, Carlos, our listeners can go to back9mediagroup.com /contest/100th with a TH dash show dot giveaway / and register. And this will be posted on Twitter, so all the people that listen to us will be on Twitter, will be on Facebook. Go there to get the link. Register. Winners will be announced during our 100th show on April the 14th. Again, it's the Tuesday after the Masters, and we'll be promoting all this free stuff over the next 2 weeks. So come on, register, sign up, and win some of the golf swag from the Back 9 Report.
Hey, if you didn't get it, hey, don't worry about it. Just follow us on our show on Twitter. We're going to be publishing all week and every week from now until the 14th. Our show is turning 100. We want you to be part of it, and that's why we're giving all this giveaway. So be sure to check us out, and you'll see all the information that we're going to have for you. But, Fred, we're going to start right away now with our Par 5 news. I'm going to take the tee shot one more time. Let me tell you something, Fred. March, we're in March, right? It's March Madness. But March is going to be a big month for Jesper Parnevik. You know why? On the 7th, he just turned 50, which made him eligible for the Champions Tour. And he finished T42 in his Champions Tour debut this past weekend at the inaugural Tucson Conquistadores Classic. He fashioned rounds of 71, 74, 71. So that's good for him. At least it will probably get him into golf some more. He doesn't play much professional golf these days. His twilight years were in the 2000s. Last time he recorded a top 25 finish on the PGA Tour was in 2008. And the last time he won an event, 2001. Luckily, playing golf doesn't have much to do with starring in a reality TV show, because apparently the man who brought the flip-flop hat brim to the golf course on the 16th started gracing flat screens. You know why? That is because Parnevik and his family are starring in a new reality TV show. You know, Jesper is known to be a colorful character, and the program will focus on him, his wife Mia, and their 4 teenage children. But there will be appearances by many others, including some of Sweden's biggest celebrities, from soccer players to movie stars to politicians. You know, not that Parnevik isn't used to having hordes of people inside his 13,000-square-foot home in Jupiter, Florida. He said that there were as many as 80, yes, 80 visitors during Christmas, and that a lot of the people who make appearances on the show would have been there anyway. Parnevik said, and I quote, "The house is always on chaos. We always have people over because Sweden is very dark in the winter. It's a big house, but it's usually not big enough," he added, referring to the number of guests they have over. Of course, Parnevik is a character in his own right, one of the 10 most colorful players in the PGA Tour, in fact. And if you follow the 50-year-old on social media, you probably agree that getting a TV show sounds about right for him. The show, having 8 one-hour episodes, is airing right now on TV3 in Sweden. As for growing into playing the golf senior circuit, Parnevik hopes to be, you know, play a pretty full schedule if his body allows it. He said, "I've had so many injuries, from cutting my finger off to segways, to hips, to backs, to ribs, so I never promise too much. I usually get injured around February." Well, fingers crossed you stay healthy this year for Jesper and break a leg on the new show. Let's stick with wishing you good luck, okay? Looking forward to the show. So hopefully he doesn't go and do a love matchmaking show. We already know, Fred, what happened between Tiger and Ellen.
Yeah, he's got some experience with that, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Carlos, the WGC match play is normally held, you know, in February out there in Arizona, but because Accenture dropped out as the main sponsor this year, it's been moved to San Francisco's Harding Park at the end of April. It also has a new format and a new selection process. The PGA announced that pool play groups will be determined by a blind draw, with the top 16 ranked players in the world heading groups of 4 players who will compete in individual matches over the first 3 days. So it's going to be a round-robin kind of thing. Previously, the tournament matched up players strictly off their world rankings, with a knockout stage beginning immediately. Pool play will guarantee all of the players at least 3 rounds before being sent on their way. Television especially likes this, if, say, a Rory McIlroy or a Jordan Spieth should happen to get knocked out in an early match. This year's tournament will see the top 16 players seeded in order of their rankings, and then their respective groups filled out by random selecting them from 3 pools of players. So the blind draw will take place from groups of players ranked 17th to 32nd, then 33rd to 48th, and then finally 49th to 64th. Just like the drawing at your club, Carlos, for the B, C, and D flight players. I'll bet the players love that idea. For example, number 1, Rory McIlroy, will be grouped with 1 player from the 17 to 33, or the 34 to 48, or the 49 to 64. Each 4-man group will play round-robin matches on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and then there's the round of 16 and the round of 8 on Saturday, so there's 2 18-hole rounds, and then there's semifinals and the finals on Sunday. So a lot of golf. It takes 7 rounds to win the thing. Last year we were excited. Remember, we got to watch Dubuisson getting up and down from the cactus and from the desert and from every place. And Jason Day was playing fantastic. It was really a good match play last year. But it should be in good format. Harding Park is a great place. And then the following year, they're only going to be at Harding Park for 1 year. And then next year, they're going to move to Austin, and it becomes part of the Texas Swing. So it'll be played immediately after the Arnold Palmer Invitation. So they'll go from Florida back to Texas, and it'll be stuck in there. Hey, Carlos, speaking of the Arnold Palmer Invitational and the King, I believe you've got some news about a new golf course in Scotland for Kieran to check out, right?
Oh, sure, Kieran, check it out. You know, the King is going to Scotland. He's set to build his first golf course in Scotland at Castle Stewart Golf Course near Inverness. That's near him. 2 days after Donald Trump reignited his plans for a second course at Trump International. Plans for a spectacular new 18-hole links course on the Moray Firth are to be submitted within 2 months. Work on its construction would be likely to begin early next year, with a scheduled opening in 2019. The Arnold Palmer Group's partnership with Castle Stewart was revealed at this week's PGA Tour, last week's PGA Tour event at Bay Hill, and the 85-year-old, who has also spoke about his scholarship to Scotland program with the University of St. Andrews, said he was pleased with the developments. Discussions on the project have been ongoing for a while, and Mark Parsonen, who helped to design the first course, revealed his delight at the partnership. Castle Stewart has achieved worldwide acclaim since opening 6 years ago, hosting the Scottish Open from 2011 to 2013, and placing number 56 in Golf Magazine's top 100 courses in the world in 2013. Now, the news on the development comes, like I said, 2 days after Trump International announced it was reigniting its plans for a second golf course at Menihi State. Progress on that front had previously been halted following a long-running legal battle over the proposed building of a wind testing center of the Aberdeenshire coast. A second course at Trump International Golf Links looks to be back on the agenda, with multiple planning applications being submitted to the Aberdeenshire Council this week. The course is part of the next major phase of construction and development at Menihi State, which had previously been on hold due to owners Donald Trump's legal battle with the Scottish government on the approval of the proposed European Offshore Wind Development Center. The case is still in the court of session in Edinburgh, but the technology involved in that center is considered to be outdated, and primary developer Vattenfall is now no longer able to finance the project. Maybe Trump should try to finance it. Maybe he can get something, but I don't think I wouldn't hold him to that. The applications include detailed plans for a 30-bedroom staff accommodation building, a 400-plus capacity ballroom and banqueting facility, and a proposal of application notice for the second McLeod course. Plans have been also lodged for additional hotel accommodation and leisure facilities adjoining the luxury 19-bedroom McLeod House and Lodge Hotel, which was awarded 5-star status by Visit Scotland in October last year, Fred. So the King, hey, Kieran, remember, the King is going to Castle Stewart, and Donald Trump, one of Kieran's favorite persons in the world, is getting his second course, Fred.
Well, you know, Carlos, we've got some new golf course news right here in the U.S. also. You know, we've been following the story of Herb Kohler trying to get a fifth golf course built in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Well, we got some of the latest news. The town of Wilson, near Sheboygan, has been raising concerns about the proposed new golf course to be built right along Lake Michigan. Many residents of the town and some environmental groups have tried to kill Kohler's idea to build his fifth golf course. It's to be built on 247 acres just north along Lake Michigan near a Wisconsin State Park. The course is going to be built, but in an effort to appease critics of the project, Kohler announced that it has made modifications to the proposed 18-hole course so that the routing reduces impact to the wetlands, decreases the amount of property needed for an easement on state land, and does not impact state property west of Black River. residents of an adjacent Timberlake subdivision and a group called Friends of Black River Forest also opposed the course and spoke against development at a town planning commission hearing in July. The group contends it would pollute the environmentally sensitive Black River and impact wetlands, and tree removal would ruin a pristine forest. There were one of the executives from Kohler addressed these. There were concerns about how much state land we were asking for and what kind of impact it would have on the wetlands. We took those concerns and did more due diligence and work in the field and modified the design. We'd like to start construction as soon as possible. We're very excited, but there's a process to go through with the town and the DNR. The course will be designed to require a minimal application of approved pesticides, herbicides, and fertilizers. Invasive species such as predominant Japanese barberry would be removed. An economic impact found that when it's operational, the new course would create an equivalent of 227 new full-time jobs and generate an annual $20.6 million economic impact for the county. That's got to create some tax dollars, doesn't it? And they should be pretty happy about that. Construction-related activity alone would create an equivalent of 95 full-time jobs and generate $12.5 million over the next three-year duration of the project. So Kohler's owned this land for a long time and includes about a mile of Lake Michigan shoreline. The new design is going to have holes routed right along Lake Michigan, similar to Whistling Straits. Pete Dye has been working on it from the beginning. He did the other four courses there at Kohler's American Club, and they are all quite beautiful. I've been there, Carlos. It's a wonderful place. And Sheboygan, the town itself, is really a cool little town. So I hope he gets this done because he and Pete Dye make a great partnership, and they've done some wonderful things. So, hey, Carlos, I hear some rumors maybe the Australasian tour is merging with the European tour. Is there anything to that?
I'll go right to it. But before we go to that, I'm just going to tell you one thing. You're saying it's from Sheboygan, Wisconsin, right? That's where the course is, right?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. Later on our show, we're going to have the practice range, and we're going to talk about the top golf movies of all time. And we're, you know, Fred and I are going to turn into Siskel and Ebert here with that. But I'm going to tell you about somebody that stars in one of those movies that is from Sheboygan, Wisconsin. And you'll see. You'll see. It's interesting. Anyway, yeah, you were right. While there have been talks of a merger, have been strongly denied by the European Tour and the PGA of Australia, they have been deep in discussion about a stronger alignment. The idea of the PGA of Australia aligning itself with either the US PGA Tour or the European Tour has been talked for about decades right now without any real negotiations or outcomes. The European Tour has previously co-sanctioned Australian golf tournaments such as the Perth International, but there are some strong rumors circulating that the European Tour is chatting to the PGA of Australia about the possibility of co-sanctioning its biggest golf tournaments, such as the Australian Open and the Australian PGA Championship. Earlier this week, Derek Lawrenson of the Daily Mail reported that the European Tour was already deep in talks to expand their tour into Australia. According to Lawrenson, a proposal is already on the table to European Tour members, and he suggests the three big Australian tournaments may form part of a future European Tour schedule. Mark Hayes then reported that the wording of Lawrenson's piece was strongly denied by the PGA of Australia's chief commercial officer, Steve Ailes. Ailes took issue with the proposal of a merger, but he clearly wasn't denying that they are in regular talks with the European Tour. So I don't deny it. I don't confirm it. I don't know what's going on. It has been mentioned that co-sanctioning in Australia's November-December tournaments may be a possibility. We wonder if shifting the Australian golf tournaments to February will not only be beneficial for Australian golf tournaments, you know, like Jeff Ogilvie has suggested, but also for the European Tour when tournaments are held in Southeast Asia. Any alignment with the big world golf tours would be a positive as far as Australian golf is concerned, but it remains to be seen if these rumors will evolve into anything substantial. Fred, whether this means an arrangement similar to that with the Sunshine Tour in South Africa, where 7 events are currently co-sanctioned, or something more formal that has yet to be determined, but make sure of this. We'll keep you posted on whatever happens. So something, there will be something there. I think that something like what Jeff Ogilvie have been saying, moving those tournaments to February would be very beneficial, and I think something around that is going to happen.
Yeah, you know, Carlos, Australia is certainly a great golfing country, but the problem is there's just nobody there. They just don't have enough numbers to draw the television. So they would have to get eyes from somewhere else, like the U.S., like Europe, like Asia. And there's so many more people in Asia that you can see that the PGA Tour is pushing more towards Asia because of the tournaments in Malaysia and the tournaments now and a couple tournaments there in China. So, you know, as sad as that is, because Australia is a great golfing country and there's just some wonderful golf courses there. But, you know, money dictates that the PGA Tour probably moved more to Asia than to Australia. Hey, Carlos, last week Brooks Koepka did something he'd never done before in competition. On Sunday, he withdrew after teeing off on the 12th hole of the Arnold Palmer Invitational. He struggled through the third round on Saturday after suffering a rib injury in his lower back and posted a 2-over par 74. He had shot 71-66 on Thursday and Friday to make the cut and be in contention after the first 36 holes. I don't quit. From when I started to play golf to today, this is the first time I've ever had the WD, and it really pisses me off, to be honest with you, Koepka said. Koepka said he tweaked his back warming up for his round on Friday when he shot his 666, but it was during round three that he felt something funny. He was diagnosed with a dislocated rib in his lower left back. I tweaked the same spot, the same muscle a year ago, but I wouldn't say that it was anything big at all. It's just very minor, and, you know, day or two kind of sore. He had treatment twice during Saturday's round. It's really painful. It hurts to breathe. If you take a deep breath, you really struggle. You know, Carlos, this is a real shame. We've been following Koepka for over 2 years now with his rise through the European Tour ranks and his win this season at the Waste Management Phoenix Open. He is currently number 14 in the FedEx Cup and number 19 in the official world golf ranking and was looking to make his first start at the Masters here in 2 weeks. So he was scheduled to play in Houston, but, you know, that probably is out. He'll probably just get some more R&R before he's ready to head to Augusta. Hey, Carlos, I've got a question of the week for you. We haven't done this for a while. So I ran across something kind of cool the other day, and I thought, you know what? We're just going to test Carlos's golf knowledge here. Carlos, can you name the 6 players under the age of 26 that are currently ranked in the top 20 on the official world golf ranking?
Wow, in the top 20 of the official golf rankings. Under what? Under 20?
Under age 26. Of 26.
Well, Rory McIlroy has to be 1. Jordan Spieth, it has to be 2.
You got him.
Hideki Matsuyama has to be there. Number 3.
You got him.
Ricky Fowler, 4.
Nope. He's Fowler's up. He's 26 now.
Oh, man, it's the top 20.
He's an old guy now.
He's on the downhill right now. Let's see who else has to be there on the top 20. Top 20.
Mentioned one of them just a little bit ago, and I just got done talking about
Brooks
one of
Koepka,
them.
You talked about Brooks Koepka, right?
Right.
He's in the top 20 now. Who else could it be? Jason Day. No, Jason is over 20.
Yeah,
Jason Day.
He's over 20.
Yeah. He's over
25. Right? Yep.
35. I don't know the other one.
A top 5 player. You got it. It's a top 5 player.
Top 5. Well, the top 5 is Rory, Ring, Henrik,
no.
Bubba.
Patrick
top
Reed.
5?
No, in his own mind.
In his own mind, yeah. Don't throw a chair with me. Top 5, I'm like, who?
You did pretty good. Patrick Reed and Victor Dubuisson are the only two that you missed. So Rory, of course, is number 1. Spieth is number 6. Reed is number 15. Hideki is number 16. Kepka's in at 18. Dubuisson's in at 19. And that's the list. So, yeah, a lot of young guys at the top of the official world golf ranking. And, Carlos, that is the Par 5 news for March the 24th, presented by United Golf Network. United Golf Network wants every golfer to enjoy the game more and have the opportunity to earn more money while doing it. They offer a top line of golf products, including popular name brands like Nike, Wilson, Greg Norman, Ashworth, TaylorMade, Adidas, and Where to Win. Everything a golfer needs, clubs, balls, bags, shoes, apparel, and accessories are available through United Golf Network with discount coupons for huge savings. United Golf Network not only has an excellent product line, it also offers every golf nut the chance to earn commissions on product through their director's program. United Golf Network provides instant and free access to Global Affinity, which offers discounted travel through Wyndham Endless Vacations. Another free perk is membership to My Golf in U.S., which offers discounted golf rounds in 16 states and 3 Canadian provinces. And finally, For Sale by Owners offers allows you to sell used or new equipment and earn sales credits on every sale. So, Carlos, visit UnitedGolfNetwork.com today and check out the products, discounts, and their opportunity.
And it was created by entrepreneurs to give golfers the opportunity to play golf, make money, and enjoy life. United Golf Network. They presented the Par 5 news for you. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we have our VIGs of the week, Jeremy Sumpter, Terry Jastrow, and Ann Archer from the film The Squeeze. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening. We'll be right back. In the meantime, don't forget to visit www.edraft.com for analysis, breaking news, and more. Also, remember to follow us on Twitter at edraftsports and on Facebook at facebook.com/edraftsports. Now, back to the show.
And we're back, and now it's time for our very important guest, VIGs of the Week. And we're going to have the main star of the movie, The Squeeze, Jeremy Sumpter, the director, writer, and producer, Terry Jastrow, and his wife, Ann Archer, who is also a producer on the film. Fred was at the premiere of the movie, which was March the 19th in Skokie, in Chicago. And it was the premiere there. Fred, you know, Phil Mickelson, in his world, that soon-to-be-released movie represents the best golf movie ever. That might be a stretch, I think, you know, when you put it beside two classics, you know, the first version of Caddyshack and the greatest game ever played. But, hey, it certainly is attracting some other players there, like Tom Watson, Jack Nicklaus, also liked it for its authenticity because it has a base just like, you know, the greatest game ever. It has a base, a similarity that it has based on history. You know, and I believe we're going to hear a lot about this. But, Fred, can you give us a preview of what we're going to listen to, this great, funny interview that we're going to listen to right now from The Squeeze?
Carlos, I absolutely had a blast taping this interview. We were invited to meet with the cast before the premiere, and so we went over and we sat down. And of course, Ann Archer is, you know, an actress of some renown. You know, she was in the Tom Clancy movies with Harrison Ford. She was also in Fatal Attraction with Michael Douglas and Glenn Close. So she's had quite an acting career. She and Terry Jastrow have been married for many years. Jastrow was, you know, very well-known sports producer for ABC for over 20 years. He produced 22 major golf championships, Indy 500, Super Bowls, and Olympics. He's a wealth of sports knowledge and has been filming the action for some of sports' biggest moments. You know, matter of fact, we sat down. He and I immediately started talking golf. He'd been involved with the U.S. Opens here at Inverness, and we could have talked for hours if not for the other people in the room that we were ignoring, so we had to kind of get back to start taping the interview. But he heard this story. He and Ann were having dinner with friends in Las Vegas one night, and the other gentleman, the other of the couple, told them this story. And he said, "Oh my goodness, that sounds like a movie." And he wrote it down, wrote the screenplay, and so now he's directed, and he is one of the producers of it. And I'm not going to go so far as say it's one of the best golf movies ever, but it's very good. I really enjoyed it. It combines golf, gambling, and intrigue, and it's really well done. So great interview. I love doing it. I think that'll come through. You'll hear we were laughing most of the time. So go ahead, Carlos.
One, as you mentioned, the gambling, and one of the two gamblers in the movie is played by Christopher McDonald, who played one of my favorite screen characters, Shooter McGavin in Happy Gilmore. So we're going to talk about that later, but let's play now the interview for The Squeeze.
We are here today talking to Terry Jastro, his wife Ann Archer, and Jeremy Sumpter, who are ready to premiere their new movie, The Squeeze, which has a golf background. Mr. Jastro has a big history in golf promotion. He worked for ABC, was involved in many major championships producing for ABC Sports. Of course, Ann Archer is an actress with over 59 movies to her credit. And Jeremy, I think this is one of your early movies. Is that correct?
I've been working for 15 years, and I've done some stuff, but this is definitely one that I'm very proud of and one I'm extremely excited about. It's going to really help my career as an adult, yeah.
As I understand, this is kind of basically a true story based off of someone's life that you happen to know.
Yes, Ann and I were having dinner with a really great friend of ours by the name of Chris Flatt, and she is head of sales and marketing at Wynn Las Vegas. And Chris has a wonderful husband by the name of Keith, and he's a kind of a modest, quiet guy, and he was sitting having dinner with us one night, and I knew he's from a little small town in Texas, and I'm from a small town in Texas, Midland, Texas. So I said, "Keith, tell us a little bit about where you come from and your life in golf." And he told us this story about his father, who was a little bit of a drunk and kind of abusive, and he had to step up and take care of his mom and his sister. And he played in the city championship in his little small town, played at the Muni, and it's a two rounds in one day. And he tied the course record in the morning round and course record by two shots in the afternoon round and won the one-day event by 15 shots. So happened, there was a big-time notorious gambler from the South making his way across the country in a car from Mississippi to Las Vegas, and he hears about this guy winning on the radio. So he pulls off the highway, goes to the Muni looking for this champion golfer, and they point over the corner to look at this, and he says to him, "I don't mean the caddy, I mean the winner." And the guy said, "That's the player." So our character in the movie's name is Riverboat, and he goes over to Augie and basically convinces him to abandon his dreams to try to qualify for the U.S. Open and playing in high-stakes gambling matches, and that's the start of the story.
And your Riverboat character is actually Chris McDonald, who most viewers will know as Shooter McGavin from the Happy Gilmore movie.
Yeah, he's a fabulous actor, and I think one of America's really great character actors. And this character, Riverboat, is loosely based on some very actually real characters, but are kind of flamboyant, larger than life, have a kind of a mythical quality to them, sort of like Bonnie and Clyde. Some of these characters like Titanic Thompson or Amarilla Slim. So this character, Riverboat, is sort of an amalgamation of what I've learned about Titanic Thompson and Amarilla Slim and such. And then he gets embroiled with a notorious mobster gambler in Las Vegas by the name of Jimmy Diamonds, who comes from other characters who sort of frequented the Las Vegas area. But I just couldn't resist the idea of having a young, modest, humble guy from a small southern town getting embroiled in these big-time golf matches.
And Jeremy, I understand from reading a little bit about it that one of the main things that Terry wanted to look at was have a real golfer in the role. And you are a serious golfer. I believe you're listed as a plus one handicap at Moore Park in California.
That's true. I joined Moorpark Country Club a year and a half ago, and that's pretty much where I mostly play. And so I pretty much got the course wired down. And but no, I love golf. I've been playing golf for 15 years. You know, everything I say is 15 years, but you got to move to 16 years because it's now been 16 years since I moved to California. So surfing I took up 16 years ago. Basketball I took up 16 years ago. Golfing I took up 16 years ago, but. I've really stuck with golf, and it's a big part of my life. And being part of this film and being able to know how to play golf really helped me be this character, and just helped me be able to do the shots that were needed to to put on film.
Number one, how did you get started playing golf? At what age? And number two, have you learned anything about yourself during the movie that will help your golf going forward?
The first time I went to the golf course was not a very good experience. I wanted to drive the golf cart, so I kept bugging my dad all day. I was 6 years old, and where we were playing in Kentucky, it was where I was raised. It's like a cow pasture, and so he said, he started looking around, and there's no one out. He goes, "All right, go over to the seventh hole, which is right there, right across the way, and just drive. It's a big wide open fairway. Just drive around, and start to come on back." So I said, "All right, cool." So I'm all excited. I'm driving. I punch it. I'm looking for him, making sure he's watching me. And I slam into a telephone pole. It's in my bottom teeth, into my bottom lip. And I had to go get stitches in my mouth. So that was my first golf experience. And I loved it ever since.
That's fabulous. And let me get you in here. Now, listen, you've been in some movies, Fatal Attraction. You've been in the Jack Ryan things, the Tom Clancy movies. This is a little bit different departure, something with a golf theme. How did you get involved in this, and what's your role?
Well, I helped produce the film with Terry, and it's pretty easy to get involved in the golf world because I've been married to a guy in the golf world for so many years and know a lot more about the sport than I ever thought I would know or maybe ever wanted to know. So once Terry wrote this script, it was pretty easy to move it forward because it's such a great story. It holds you from beginning to end, and I got to be very involved in the casting of it and all aspects of filmmaking that I know, and we make a very good team. He's a wonderful director, he's a wonderful producer, and I'm a wonderful editor. As we started writing, as he was writing, and I was able to help him while we were filming because of my experience in front of the camera. I really understood what the requirements were to make a good movie, and we worked well as a team.
Now, I believe Tom Watson and Judy Rankin are investors in the film. They've looked at it. They're pretty happy with the product so far.
Yeah, they are. It's quite an honor, really, to have Tom Watson and Judy Rankin investors. They both came to be investors and really interested in funny ways. I was, frankly, just having dinner with Tom one night at Greenbrier. I directed Tom's instructional program called Lessons of a Lifetime. And we were sitting there having dinner, and he was saying, "Well, what are you and Andy up to?" And I told him about this movie, and he said, "Well, how much does that cost?" And I told him, he said, "Well, how do you get that paid for?" And I said, "Well, Ann and I are raising the money." And Tom said, "Well, are you and Andy invested in it?" And I said, "Well, I come from an oil man background, and you got to invest in it yourself." And I said, "Why? Do you want to invest?" I was just teasing him. He said, "Well, I can't invest in a movie with about that's got golf in it, like these Hollywood actors playing golf. I need to be sure these guys can really play." So I had Jeremy Sumpter and Jason Doring, who plays Aaron Bolt, two of the actors, the key actors who play golf in the movie, actually record a driver, a 5-iron, a wedge, and a bunker shot. And we got it all, collected the video, and sent it to Watson. He calls me early the next morning, and he said, "Let me tell you, Jeremy Sumpter can really play, and I'm in."
That's a really good story. Jeremy, back to you for a second. What are some other roles that we might have seen you in or some things that you've done?
My first film, is a kind of secret. It's a good movie, actually. It's called Frailty with Bill Paxton and Matthew McConaughey. Mm-hmm. Matthew McConaughey, I just love it. So it was good to work with him. He gave me some good advice about my career, the Peter Pan when I was a kid, that was a big film for Universal. Filmed for a year in Australia. It was a $150 million budget. And I did Friday Night Lights for a few seasons. you know, Soul Surfer. I've got a few surf movies come out, and now I got this, and I got a couple others coming out later this year, and I'm happy. You could.
Have you been in any competitive golf? Do you have aspirations to play like an amateur events or continue in more competition like that?
I've played in some of those celebrity matches that are, you know, those scramble tournaments, which I hate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for one, you ain't got no one carrying your clubs, or carrying your balls down, or giving, you know what I mean? But it is a good cause. I like playing those because, you know, I play in the Haggis back, which is for melanoma, and then one out, March of Dimes. But they're fun. But no, I wanna get down. I wanna go and I wanna play with the tour players. I wanna go and show them what I can do, and just have fun out there and play in front of a crowd and, you know, having that feel. Because that's like, I mean, everyone goes out and plays golf where you're walking down the fairway and you're in your head. And I still do it every day. I go play golf with my dad. I'm like, all right. Every time I get to the first tee, I'm like, Dad, this is the final round, U.S. Open. You okay? You're on the Champions Tour, and I'm on the PGA Tour. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so I said, but I'm like, miraculously, this one year they're having the Champions Tour and the PGA Tour on the same day, the final round. And what did you think? Your father and son are paired up together on the final round, but you know, but just completely different tours.
Yeah.
But so we end up doing that. He'll play from the blue tees. I'll play from the black tees. And so. But no, I do that all the time. So for me to be able to go and play with those guys and realize these would be sick.
Well, I would think the offers will probably be rolling in for Pebble Beach, and Terry might know some people there can help you out with that. And the American Century Celebrity event, I would think those would be excellent events for you.
There is a celebrity tour out there, I think, where there actually are players that go and play every week when they're not working, and they have it's like a celebrity tour where it is like that, and you go. But there's also, like, on most tournaments, they have the Tuesday, Wednesday practice rounds where they'll have either club members or something, you know, like the Phoenix.
The Pro-Ams.
Yeah, Pro-Ams.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. And anything down coming in the future for you? Are you still working? What are you happy to be doing this, producing? What are you thinking?
Well, Terry wrote a wonderful play that we actually have been working on, and we did it over in London and at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival last fall and summer and fall. And we're going to take it into the West End this fall, so that's my next big project. And there are a lot of things on the horizon, but, you know, we don't talk about them until they're actually happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, we appreciate that. Terry, we're going to wrap this up because the movie's going to be starting here in a little bit. Is there anything else that you'd like to cover before we wrap this up?
Yeah, thanks for asking. I would just say that we're really proud of this movie, and I think people will really love it. It's actually going to be in selected theaters on April 17th. It's the Friday after the Masters for golfers. So April 17th, it'll be in selected cities and theaters, and also on video on demand, because, in fact, about 90% of the people in America who watch movies at home. So that's on April 17th. But interestingly enough, we also have something on April 16th, the day before, where it's going to be offered on Groupon. So Groupon is this internet thing where they offer things to really tens of millions of people, and they've never offered a movie in a digital download capacity. In the past, you could buy a ticket on Groupon and get the Groupon ticket and go to your local theater. But for the first time ever with the Squeeze, you can buy the Squeeze and get the digital download. And so, I mean, with their they service as many as 50 or 60 million people in North America. So we're going to start with a test offering of it on April 16th on Groupon. Look for it on Groupon, and then in theaters and video demand on April 17th.
Fantastic. We are definitely going to watch for that, and our listeners want to be sure and catch that also. We're happy, and thanks again to Terry Jastrow, Ann Archer, and Jeremy Sufter, and we wish you so much good fortune with this movie.
Great. There you have it. That was the interview with the stars of The Squeeze and Fred. Also, I had read that there's going to be, on March 30th, there's going to be a fundraiser for the Illinois PGA Foundation at Bentonville Theater. So it would be shown there. And I also read that it only took 19 days to film 13 basically at Eagle Point in Wilmington, North Carolina, and 6 at Wynn Las Vegas Resort. As we all know, Eagle Point will become more prominent in 2017 when it will host the PGA Tour's Wells Fargo Championship. But it's incredible, only 19 days. And the other thing that caught my eye, I think that Tom Watson, you know, might be calling Jeremy. He said that he can play. So after that offering that he wants to play a tour, hey, maybe Tom will get him under his wing.
Yeah, Jeremy's a pretty good player. And as you could hear from the interview, he's just a really nice kid, too. You know, he's 26. And as he said, he's been actually a professional actor now for about 15, 16 years. Starting with Peter Pan, he was in Friday Night Lights, so he has a great sense of humor and you know, just really a nice down-to-earth person. I do want to, I mean, you could hear those stories, you know, about wrecking the cart when he was a kid. I mean, who hasn't? You know, that's just perfect. And then, you know, playing the games with his dad when they go and play, you know, pretending they're in the U.S. Open or something. That is such good stuff. You know, it was great to talk to them, but. And then the unique way that they're marketing this movie, that's really something that everybody is looking at, because just like our industry, Carlos, with newspapers and magazines going more digital, the movies are going more to direct marketing, like video on mm-hmm. demand. This is a big thing for Groupon. One of the main producers of the movie, Brian McCormick, helped to start Groupon, and he's since sold out, but he's still very close with them. And he got together with his old cronies there, and so they developed this method of marketing through Groupon on April the 16th. And so they're curious to see how it's going to go. I actually got to talk to one of the Groupon executives after the movie for a little bit. And hopefully I'll get in touch with him and we'll find out how that works for them and maybe give you a report down the road here after it's out for a couple weeks. But, everybody's kind of watching how that's going to do. It's really changing the way the movie marketing is being brought to the public. Because people just don't go to the theaters much. They sit at home, they watch their big screens, everybody's got the seating now, you know, and they got their room all fixed up, and it's a lot nicer to sit on your own chair and your own couch, go to your refrigerator, than spend $20 for a bucket of popcorn or something, you know. So the whole thing is going to be kind of a test market, but the movie itself is really worth seeing, and I urge our listeners especially, you know, everybody that's a golfer to try and give it a look see.
Well, pretty soon everybody will have a chance. April 17th, it will be officially released. Well, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to have our practice range. We're going to be ranking and saying who do we think of the top golf movies of all times. Which movie scores a hole in one? Which goes for a birdie? Pot, bogey, or worse. Don't go away. Listen and see if you agree. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to the Back Nine Report presented by eDraft.com. We'll be right back. Don't forget to check out our co-hosts on Twitter by clicking their names in the episode description. Now, back to the show.
And we're back, and now it's time for the practice range. Every week, Fred and I pick a topic, we take our shots, and say our own opinions about it. And this week, since we were talking, our VAG was the stars of Squeeze, we're going to have now rating the top golf movies of all time. And Fred and I are going to turn it to something like Siskel and Ebert for the golf movies, and we're going to say our own thoughts of it. And at the end of each movie that we're going to talk about, we're going to say the score that we give her. It's a hole-in-one, birdie, par, bogey, or worse. So let's start with Caddyshack. Caddyshack was released in 1980. This is a true classic, Fred. It's crude, it's rude, gleefully crass comedy. It's pitting snobs against slobs at the Snotty Country Club. You know, it combines the comedic talents of Rodney Dangerfield, Bill Murray, Ted Knight, and Chevy Chase, and what you end up with is simply the best golf movie ever made. It's with countless memorable lines and outfits that epitomized everything we loved about the 80s. This flick is as good as it gets. Ostensibly about a scheme by an obnoxious developer, which is played by Dangerfield, to build condos on the side of a country club, what people remember most is Dangerfield's nonstop barrage of one-liners and gags and Murray's insane battle with a pesky golfer. Fred, and everyone out there, go ahead, I dare you, double dare you. Try not to do your Bill Murray, it's in the hole impression. It's unavailable, Fred.
Just another young Cinderella story, Carlos. It was a loosely written, this thing was so loosely written by Harold Ramis and Brian Doyle Murray, Bill Murray's brother. And, of course, it was directed by Ramis. And, you know, as you mentioned, you know, the cast included Bill Murray, Chevy Chase, Rodney Dangerfield, Michael O'Keefe, and Ted Knight. Oh, Billy, oh, my Billy, Baroo. You know, they really had no clue what they were doing, you know, and quite honestly, they were almost too busy smoking dope and partying to even get anything on film every day. You know, Murray cast as Carl the Greenskeeper. He was only supposed to have just a few short little takes in the whole film, but when they began watching the dailies, they kept calling him back from New York to shoot more and more. They were filming down in Florida, and they kept sending him, you know, flying him back down, saying, hey, we want to do this, we want to do this, and so you know, he basically stole the movie. And it was Rodney Dangerfield's first movie. He was totally insecure through the entire process, you know. But this thing really launched his career. He became a comedic icon. And everybody knows him from this movie. You know, and Carlos, everybody, every golfer's got a favorite line from this movie. You know, when Chevy Chase is playing night golf and he hits his ball into Carl's apartment in the maintenance shed, and, you know, Carl asks Chevy if he can swim in his pool sometime, and Chevy says, well, we have a pool and a pond. The pond would be good for you. I love that. I love that line. You know, I can't give this a hole-in-one, Carlos, but I can give it an albatross, a double eagle. It is the best movie, the best golf movie of all time, of all the ones we're going to talk about. We started with the best.
Oh, yeah. Be the ball. Be the ball.
Be the ball. We can do this all night long. You know that.
All night long, we can talk about the Caddyshack. I gotta agree with you. I'm gonna go give it an albatross. We didn't have it in there, but you mentioned it. That I think, yeah, it doesn't score a hole in one, but it's really, really close. It was in the lip of the hole before getting in there. So I'll just leave it there. So that, yeah. It got an albatross from the both of us, Caddyshack. Let's go to the next one we have in store for you. It's Tin Cup, which was released in 1996. Starred Kevin Costner, Rene Russo, Don Johnson, and Cheech Marin. You know, this Tin Cup is filled with laughs, drama, and romance. You know, Kevin Costner, he's an avid golfer, and he stars as Roy McAvoy, a down-on-his-luck pro who lives in a glorified trailer at a dilapidated driving range he owns in West Texas. After falling for a beautiful woman, who is played by Rene Russo, who winds up being the girlfriend of his PGA Tour star nemesis, David Sims, which, by the way, was played masterfully by Don Johnson. I think it was the only character he in his life he played masterfully. McAvoy tries to. I mean, I'm sorry, but it's
you didn't like Miami Vice. Oh my God,
I love Miami Vice. That was one of my favorite series. I even dressed like them. But
exactly,
his,
so did I.
Yeah, but him as an actor, no way. But this one, he played it masterfully. You know, McAvoy tries to qualify for the U.S. Open in order to turn his life around, including keeping the girl. You know, Cheech Marin is great as McAvoy's drinking and hanging out buddy, Fred, I won't give away any more, but if you haven't seen this one yet, take the night off and rent it because you are really going to like it.
You know, this is one of my favorites, Carlos, for sure. You know, I don't think you mentioned Cheech Marin is in here as Romeo as the caddy,
yes, yes,
and, you know, as Kevin Costner, you know. And then, and I failed to mention, I kick myself, in the other movie, in The Squeeze, Catherine LaNasa. She's done a lot of television, a lot of movies. When you see her, you'll recognize her. She literally steals the show. Christopher McDonald as Riverboat is excellent, but then Catherine plays Riverboat's girlfriend. She is outstanding in The Squeeze. She will have you laughing in stitches during the movie, kind of like Romeo's the stripper girlfriend did in Tin Cup. You know, she gives that comedy. You know, it's great. But, you know, in this movie, we had cameos by Billy Mayfair, Phil Mickelson, Johnny Miller, and then Gary McCord and Peter Costas were in it. They also were the technical advisors on the film. I'm not sure how much technical advising they did. I think they just stood by the buffet and soaked up the donuts. But, you know, some people consider Tin Cup more of a love story or a romantic comedy. But, you know, I'm a big Kevin Costner and Rene Russo fan. I love this movie. I watch it, quite a bit, actually, probably, you know, more than once or twice a year for sure. I don't give it the albatross like we gave Caddyshack, but I give it a solid eagle, Carlos. I love this movie. I watch it all the time.
Solid eagle. I gotta say, I like it. I like it. Yeah, let's go for the eagle. Yeah, it went in. It went in. Just one touch after the green. Yeah, in there. Let's give it an eagle. Yes, I gotta agree. I was between a birdie and an eagle, but yeah, it's. I mean, Don Johnson, Cheech Marin, and yeah, like you said, I'm a big Kevin Costner fan. I mean, he's a great actor. Love those sports movies that he does. And he does a great, great work with us, Rory McIlroy. And finally, he gets the girl. You know, it's a great thing. Hey, let's talk about the third one that we have on the list. This movie, I love it. I mean, Happy Gilmore. It was in 1996, starring Adam Sandler, Christopher McDonald, which we talked about from The Squeeze as well, and Carl Weathers. You know, this movie is credited as one of Adam Sandler's most memorable performances, as well as the founding of the Running Start golf swing. Seen attempted afterwards by frat boys and beer-soaked golfers everywhere.
You've done it, Carl. You know you've done it. Everybody's
done it. Who hasn't done it after that?
Yeah. Exactly.
This movie depicts Happy's quest to beat rival Shooter McGavin, which is played by Christopher McDonald, with the help of his one-handed golf coach, Chubbs, which is played by Carl Weathers. Happy is a hockey player possessed with the right kind of fierce temperament for the game. But he finds that his hockey shooting style translates into the kind of tee shots that would make John Daly green with envy. And perhaps the most unforgettable scene is the profanity-riddled confrontation between Happy and Bob Barker, who's playing himself. Oh, and the hottie who plays Virginia Bennett, you know, Happy's love interest, is none other than Julie Bowen from the current primetime hit Modern Family. But you didn't see that one coming back then. Either way, Fred, this cult status flick has left generation of young golfers quoting its punchlines ad nauseum.
Yeah, this has become a cult favorite for sure. You know, for me, I'm not a big fan of this movie. I've come to like Adam Sandler a little bit. To me, the best part of this whole movie is the fight with the Price is Right, Bob Barker. That's just priceless. How many times, you know, these pros get stuck in these pro-ams, and they just hate some of the guys they're with. You know, they want to take them over behind something and just knock some sense into them. I think that's priceless. To me, you know, a 10-year-old boy would, you know, probably enjoy the movie way more than I ever do. But the best I can rate this, Carlos, is a bogey, I'm afraid.
What? No way, man. No way.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
First disagreement we have. I give it a bird. I mean, well, in 1996.
Carlos, you slut.
20 years ago. 20 years ago. It's got to be. It's a cult name. I wasn't that old in 1996. That's the thing.
Yeah, you're a lot younger than me. See, you can like it.
I'm sorry. I threw you under the bus there. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I wonder that again. It's your birthday. I shouldn't be saying that. But first disagreement, Peter Siskel and Ebert. You go for the bogey. I go for the birdie. Okay. Next one. Excellent. The greatest game ever played. It was in 2005, directed by Bill Paxton, and it stars Shia LaBeouf, Stephen DeLane, and Stephen Marcus. This film definitely grants viewers with a bit of history lesson as the story follows the unlikely success of a working-class boy and his desire to show off his talent among top golf professionals. It's telling the unlikely success of Francis Ouimet, which is played by Shia LaBeouf, an amateur who shocked the world when he defeated Harry Vardon, which was played by DeLane, and Ted Ray, played by Marcus, at the 1913 U.S. Open. This movie contains some of the most imaginative and aesthetically pleasing golfing scenes ever to appear on the big screen. Fred, The Greatest Game Ever Played is one of the most inspirational golf films ever produced and a truly uplifting underdog story.
It truly is inspirational and in a feel-good. That is for sure. You know, as you mentioned, it chronicles the 1913 U.S. Open, won by the teenage Francis Ouimet. I enjoyed the tension produced between the pros and the amateurs in the movie, as well as the country club snobbery, class distinction. This film gives golfers a feeling for the early history of golf in the U.S. with Ted Ray and Harry Vardon as the leading golfers from Europe at the time. So from a historical standpoint, I really like the movie. Probably, you know, if you can have too much of a thing, this probably had too much golf in it. And I know of actual playing of golf, you know, golf movies, you know, if you just have the golf in it, they tend to get a little bit long for the not the golf fan maybe. But one of the producers said to me about The Squeeze that they actually had to cut a lot of golf scenes out because it just drug on too long and, you know, it just made it too slow. But to me, that's what I found with The Greatest Game. I really liked the movie. I loved the story. I found it inspirational, but it got a little bit long. I rate this a par, Carlos, but it could easily go to a birdie, but it's just a tap-in par for me. Just lift out the putt, and it's a tap-in par.
In mine, it came in, and it was a birdie. It just went around the lip, and it went in. It went in. I have to say it because I understand what you say. She said maybe when I watch movies, it's something that, I don't know, I just get, like, into the movie. It's like I'm in there, I'm living it, and another, here I go again. Shia LaBeouf, I don't like him. I don't like his acting. But in this one, he sold Ouimet to me. You know, and it really came to me and appealed to me. So that's why I think that his acting and making that and the approach, I mean, from the director, even though, like you said, there was so much golf in it, I think that it was really, really good. And the history lesson and all that, it really took me, so that's why I'm going to give it a birdie. So another disagreement. Great, we're back on track. I think we're going to disagree on this one, too. I have a feeling on the next one. It's The Legend of Bagger Vance, and that was released in 2000. It's starring Will Smith, Matt Damon, and Charlize Theron. Matt Damon and Will Smith here, they combined forces to produce what was a heartwarming story of personal fulfillment and triumph over life's many obstacles. The film is about many things besides golf. It is a love story. It displays the hardships born from both World War I and the Great Depression, and it conveys the difficulties associated with alcoholism. But the main story, it remains to be golf. Damon plays Ronald Juneau, a down-and-out golfer who is convinced to attempt to recover his game and his life by playing in a match against Bobby Jones and Walter Hagen, at the urging of a mysterious and mystical caddy, Bagger Vance, which is played by Will Smith. Fred, although this film was certainly not a financial success, we are sure that any golfer will have a soft spot for this one.
You know what? This thing was filmed beautifully. I really like the cast in it. The guy that plays Walter Hagen, Bruce McGill, is one of my favorite actors of all time. And, you know, Will Smith arrives from nowhere as Bagger Vance to offer sage advice and help a war hero who's lost himself, you know, becomes a drunkard. And he returns to greatness in this golf match against Walter Hagen and Bobby Jones. It's just too much for me, I'm sorry, to believe. Like I said, it has beautiful filming. The story just, it doesn't get it. I like Matt Damon. I like Will Smith. But you know what, Carlos? This gets a bogey from me.
I knew it. That's why I called it from the beginning. I'm still going under. I gotta give it a birdie. I'm just a sucker for Will Smith and Matt Damon, and especially Charlize Theron. But anyway, no. But really, it's just
well,
like, so
I can
many
agree
things,
with that.
That we have to agree, right? But anyway, the thing is that it involves so many things around golf. You know, it's not only about golf, even though it still remains that. I was glued to the screen to wait until the end, just like they wanted to keep going and finish the game. It doesn't matter, you know, it's dark and all that. It doesn't matter, we're going to finish the game. And it kept me there, so definitely very interesting to me. I'm going to give it a birdie, so I'm still under. Next one, Bobby Jones, Stroke of Genius, and that was released in 2004. Stars one of my favorite actors, Jim Caviezel, Malcolm McDowell, and Aidan Quinn. Despite retiring from competitive golf at age 28, you know, Bobby Jones is still considered by many as the greatest amateur golfer of all time. His life and career are featured in this biopic, which earned high marks from critics because of solid acting and an enthusiastic approach from the director, Rowdy Harrington. At the very least, this film provides an excellent opportunity to learn about one of the most pivotal figures in history of the sport of golf, and tells in the story of conquering your ambition to find success in the greens and becoming the best golfer you can be, which was what Bobby Jones wanted to do. So, you know, that's the story on this one. So how you saw it?
Yeah, this is a nice movie, you know, especially for the casual golfer who would like to learn a little bit more about Bobby Jones' life and his golf career. The intense nature with which he played and all the tension and pressure he put on himself to perform well. So the historical aspects in respect to the great Bobby Jones, this should be a must-see for every golfer. The movie in itself, yeah, I found it just a little bit lacking, you know, to be a real serious movie. I did like it. I've only just seen it one time. I'll probably watch it again maybe down the road sometime. But I give this a par, Carlos.
Another disagreement. I went over this one.
Oh, did you?
I didn't give it a double bogey because of Jim Caviezel, but I give it a
par. Oh, there you
really,
go.
Yeah, I was in that move. I mean, like you mentioned, it's great if you want to know more, a little bit more about Bobby Jones. Great, but I think I can find more information on Google than what I can get there in the...
Yeah, that's probably true. You ask Mr. Google.
Yep, it's better that way. But so, I give it a bogey here. Next one, That's Solid Perfect, 1988, starring Randy Quaid, Catherine Harold, and Jack Warden. Dan Jenkins, he's one of the best American sports writers of the past 50 years. He wrote two of the best books about football and golf, respectively. Semi-Tough focused on the exploits of the gridiron, while That Solid Perfect followed the fictional journey of a second-rate golfer who traversed the country trying to desperately make the PGA Tour, at the same time dealing with a foundering marriage and a party-hardy lifestyle. Fred, this HBO film starring Randy Quaid follows that struggling golfer as he travels the country on that quest.
Yeah, Carlos, I've only seen this movie a couple times. It was, as you mentioned, it starred Randy Quaid as the everyman golfer, a true journeyman, brilliantly written by the great Dan Jenkins, who had traveled the tour with some of the greats, Byron Nelson and Ben Hogan, and saw everything there was to see out there. So he drew on those experiences to write this. And you know what? I'm going to purchase this movie, watch it several more times, because it is one of the most realistic golf movies ever made. You know, Quaid finally gets his shot at the big time, and you know, he has to go on the press conferences and tells everybody, look at me, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm not that great, you know, I get a shot one time here, you know, these other guys, they do it all the time. But this movie, it gets a solid eagle from me, Carlos. Love this movie.
Mine went around for the eagle, but it just passed by. So
it lipped out.
I'm going to give it a birdie. It lipped out. So I'm going to give it a birdie. I know the story is great. I just think that they could have done a little bit more, but Randy Quaid was excellent. I mean, he's a great actor. And, yeah, it's a very good story, but to me, it was a birdie. So, man, what happened to us? We went, wow, after such a great start. Such a great start. Next one, A Gentleman's Game, 2001. And the stars there are Mason Gamble, Gary Sinise, wow, what a great actor, Gary Sinise, and Philip Baker Hall. This movie is based on the novel by Tom Coyne, A Gentleman's Game. It tells the tale of an aspiring 12-year-old golfer, Timmy Price. This youngster thinks he's getting a good golf experience when he caddies at an exclusive local country club over the summer. But he ends up learning just as much about class and society from his new gig. It teaches him a valuable lesson in the differences between the haves and have-nots. With the help of his father, Timmy begins learning the game by caddying for some of the town's best players, as well as a few average shows along the way. Then he's taken under the wing of a former professional golf pro, which is played by Gary Sinise, and then he undergoes a crash course in both life and golf.
Yeah, you know, the writers tried to cover some deep social issues when they wrote this movie with their content, and they chronicled the journey of a promising young golfer and contrasted to the old washed-up, has-been golfer living in a trailer down by the beach. You know, as you mentioned, being a caddy at a country club, what an education. My youngest son caddied for about 3 summers when he was in high school. He learned so much from that, how to read people, how to handle people, how to deal in different situations. He got a real education doing that. And so you could relate to a lot of things that happened in this movie. It's a good watch. Not up there with the best. Bogey for me, Carlos.
Bogey for me, too. Bogey for me.
There you go.
We're back on track. Yeah, gotta agree with everything that you said about it. Yeah, it was a bogey for me, even though Gary Sinise, one of my favorite actors, is there. 7 Days in Utopia, that was from 2011. Wow, Mr. Robert Duvall is one of the stars there, Lucas Black and Melissa Leo. Duvall stars in this adaptation from golf's sacred journey, 7 Days at the Links of Utopia, which is a book by David L. Cook. The story begins with an embarrassment tournament loss that leads to a public meltdown from a pro golfer, Luke Chisholm, which is played by Lucas Black, who proceeds to make things worse by driving his car through a fence in Utopia, Texas. The fence happens to be the property of Johnny Crawford, which is played by Robert Duvall, a rancher and former touring golfer who decides to help Luke with his dilemma by taking him under his wing.
You know, this movie also kind of takes golf into the realm of religion. You know, could God be a golfer, Carlos? And I am a huge, huge Robert Duvall fan. I don't know if the guy's ever made a movie I didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
He can play any character. I especially like it when he plays Western types like this, like he did here. He teaches the hot-headed young pro to slow down, smell the roses, appreciate everything in life, not just golf. It weaves that religious theme through the storyline, which, Carlos, for me, I felt that for years. I really think I'm in sync with that. I think hardcore golfers can relate to that feeling when you're on the golf course. You know, when you're out there in an early morning walking down a dew-laden, sparkling fairway with the sun still rising and the steam coming up off the lakes that are smooth as glass. I mean, this just has to be what God has in mind for heaven, isn't it? I've watched this movie several times. I will watch it 3 to 4 times every year. It's one of my favorites. It's of the ones, you know, I've got 3 or 4 here, and this is definitely one of them. It's a solid eagle for me. It doesn't get the albatross, but it's definitely an eagle.
I'm going to give it a birdie. It's a great story, and Robert Duvall, I have to agree with you. I haven't seen any movie that he's not good at it. He can play anything. And I remember the movie Phenomenon with John Travolta, where John Travolta gets this tumor in his head, and he's in the bar and he starts, you know, criticizing everybody for going against him because they don't believe what's going on. What that scene there, that acting there, I can see it every day. It's such a great actor. And definitely he gives a great performance here. And yeah, it's a great story, but I'm gonna give it a birdie. Next one. We have to get to this one. Caddyshack 2, 1998.
We have to? Do we really? I'll just give it a double bogey and go on. How about that?
Let's just do it. Okay. You were
we agree
nice.
On that one?
You were nice.
Not out of bounds, but damn near.
No, just right there. You know, it's just 5 times.
The out of bounds thing kicked it back in.
That's why I went in, because otherwise... I really don't know. You know, it's one of the worst sequels to a fantastic movie, definitely. And, you know, even though this one, what I'm only going to say about this one is that this one has the guy that was born in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, and that's Jackie Mason. He was born there. I found that interesting that we were going to talk about.
I didn't know that. Good one,
so
Carl.
Jackie Mason was born there in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. So that's the only highlight I'm going to mention about this.
Well, you know, I mean, this cast had Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd, Dan Cannon, Robert Stack, you know, Mr. FBI, and Jackie Mason. And still, I mean, it was awesome.
And Randy Quaid. And
yeah, exactly.
Not good. It has the best star cast, but then it had a great script. So let's follow to the next one. Follow the Sun. I wasn't born then. My mom didn't even have me in the plan for that. So, 1951. It stars Glenn Ford and Ann Baxter. And this one, I haven't seen it, but I know that it's a biopic that chronicles the real life of golf recovery from a near fatal crash of the late great Ben Hogan, which is played by Glenn Ford. So I'm just going to pass it on to you. I cannot rate it because I really didn't see it.
Well, Carlos, this is the first golf movie that I ever watched, and so it's kind of like your first girlfriend. You know, you've got a very warm spot for it in your heart. As I learned more about Ben Hogan as I became a golfer, you know, and his extraordinary golfing life, I really came to appreciate the movie even more. Glenn Ford, I like a lot of the stuff he's done, and this was the first movie I really noticed him in, and after that I came to realize what a good actor he really was, but I thought he did a great job portraying Hogan in the movie. He actually probably was a kinder, gentler Hogan than Hogan really was, but the things that Hogan had to deal with and come back from, you know, and since I've done a lot of reading about Hogan, I you know, I know a lot about him, and but this movie, I put it in here just because I wanted to, for golf fans, if they haven't seen this, called Follow the Sun. It's from 1951. Glenn Ford portrays Ben Hogan. It's a birdie, maybe an eagle. It's a must-see. Anybody who calls himself a golf fan should get this movie and watch it.
Well, you know, one thing that I read about it, it said there was something very good about the sequences in the film. It was that Hogan hit the shots himself, so that might be a good thing there. Let's go to the last one that you put on the list, and that's Pat and Mike. Also, I wasn't born back then. I haven't seen it. That's 1952, and, you know, I can't say, but I always know that it's Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn, and it was a romantic comedy. So, you know, I know that Katharine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy had a famous on-screen chemistry, so it could crackle on this one. So you tell me about it.
Yeah, I only put this in here because it was on the list. Again, Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn, what else do you need to say? You know, two of the all-time greats. They really sparkle in this movie. Tracy plays a very good, irascible old sports writer that helps Hepburn regain her athletic mojo and confidence. And, you know, she was quite an athlete, liked to do a lot of outdoor stuff. She was what you would call a tomboy. Golf was just a little piece of this movie. Tennis and some other sports are also involved, but it's a really good movie. If you want something light, you know, if you want to watch an old black and white and you want to see two classic actors, Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn at their very best, that's why I put this in here, Carlos. It gets a birdie from me, even though it was made in 1952.
Okay, well, I guess that wraps up our list. Do you have any other?
I got one more. Before we get away, Carlos, I got one more just to mention. This is questionable for me. Golf in the Kingdom is a book, and this movie was taken from the book. It involves, kind of mystical powers of golf in Scotland. I really found this movie too dark and too deep for me, but I've read the book. I've watched the movie. I've done my due golf thing there. I understand what the mysterious and whimsical Chivas Irons is all about, but I'm not too sure I'm a big believer. So this movie is only advised for the hardcore golfers. Anybody else will find it boring and over the top. But I just throw it out there just so people are aware of it.
Well, there you have it. That was our practice range. Hope you enjoyed it and hope you scored it like us. Otherwise, you're going to go over par all the time. Well, that wraps up our practice range. Let's take a short break. When we come back, Fred and I will take our final putts. Don't go away.
Thank you for listening. We'll be right back. In the meantime, don't forget to visit www.edraft.com for analysis, breaking news, and more. Also, remember to follow us on Twitter at edraftsports and on Facebook at facebook.com/edraftsports. Don't forget to check out our co-hosts on Twitter by clicking their names in the episode description. Now, back to the show.
Back, and now it's time for our final putts of this week. Fred, I believe you have a couple of them before I get my final putt in.
Yeah, I do, Carlos, and since we've got a couple minutes here, I'll kind of go down through the list here. First of all, Carlos, I want to thank all my Twitter friends and all my Facebook friends for all the kind wishes today for my birthday. I'm really overwhelmed with the response from everyone, and thank you so much.
Did you like the cake? Did you like the cake?
I love the cake. I love. Matter of fact, I have a nice chocolate cake downstairs, and I'm going to go down and have some cake and ice cream as soon as I'm done messing around with you here. So, hey,
enjoy.
I also want to remind our listeners of the 100th Back Nine Report, huge giveaway. Watch Twitter, watch Facebook for the link. Click on, register, get signed up for all the great prizes. They're finally going to play some golf on the 2016 Olympic course in Rio de Janeiro, Carlos. They're going to have a tournament November 26th through the 29th. We'll be curious to see what the players have to say about it, what it looks like, that kind of thing. The European Tour announced that the Madeira Islands opened, which was scheduled in Portugal, which was canceled last week due to extreme weather conditions, has been rescheduled for July 30th through August 2nd at Club de Golfo do Santo da Serra. The 2016 Ryder Cup captain, Darren Clark, met with the press at Heathrow Airport last week. He called being named the Ryder Cup captain the highest honor that he could receive. Ernie Els used an old driver and a putting tip from Larry Rinker to make his first cut in his last five starts last week at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. So maybe he's gearing up. Maybe he's getting there just the right time for the Masters. You know, he needs a Masters win. Bay Hill is going to get a makeover starting May 15th. Arnie's going to tinker around and change some things, make it a little bit tougher. In the Global Golf Post this week, Steve Eubanks has a great piece about the new big three in women's golf, and he's calling that Lydia Ko, Stacey Lewis, and Envy Park. Last year we had the big three, or 2 years ago, and we had Suzanne Pedersen in there. So, you know, I don't know if it's a big three right now. I think it's a big one. I don't see anybody in Lydia Ko's class right now. The PGA Tour, this is really great, Carlos. There's an article on golf.com. The PGA Tour told Kevin Kisner's caddy his shorts were an unacceptable color. They were the correct length. They were the correct style. You know, he's wearing his bib, and they said the color was wrong. The color was almost exact same color as Dan Hicks and Johnny Miller were wearing on the telecast in their shirts. You know, I'm telling you, the tour is going about this all the wrong way with these caddies. They're going to be real sorry when they get done with this thing. And the LPGA Tour announced what amateurs are going to be invited to the Annie Inspiration. I didn't write them down here, but people can look that up if they're interested. So, Carlos, that's all that I have for this week.
You know, the PGA Tour keeps this up. You know, what happened to the NFL with all those rules, they started saying it's the No Fun League. Okay, the PGA Tour, I've heard that if they keep this up with the caddies, they're going to be the pretty good A-something, so I'm not going to say the word, but anyway, I have one final part here, and it's that the LPGA Tour announced it has named its five amateur sponsor invitations for this year for the A&A Inspiration, and there will be a total of seven amateurs competing in that championship April 2 to the 5th, with women's amateur Kristen Gilman earning an automatic exemption. The final amateur spot will go to the winner of the Junior Challenge that will be on Monday of the tournament week in Mission Hills. Celine Boutier, she's 21 from France. She's the Duke Junior World's number one rank in the World Amateur Golf Ranks, and she helped the Blue Devils win last year's NCAA Championship. Nelly Korda, 16, from Bradenton, Florida. We all know she's a little sis of Jessica Korda. And she won the Kathy Withberg, but took 5 months off last year with lower back pain. Andrea Lee, from 16, from Hermosa Beach in California. She won the Gianni Tseng Invitational on the Rolex Tournament of Champions. Mickey Liu, 16, from Bradenton, Florida as well. She has summer victories that includes the Women Western Amateur and Southern Women's Amateur and the World Amateur Junior Championship. And Bethany Wu, who's 18, from Diamond Bar, California. Medalist at the 2014 U.S. Women's Amateur Stroke Play. She's also a two-time winner of the Annika Invitational. So that's our story. There are there already six of the seven for the A&A Inspiration Championship, the first major of the LPGA. Well, Back Niners, that wraps up another week of the Back Nine Report presented by eDraft.com. It's always our pleasure to bring you the latest on the world of golf. We thank you for listening to us for the past hour and a half. Special thanks to our VIGs, very important guests of the week, Teddy Jastrow, Ann Archer, and Jeremy Sumter from The Squeeze. Don't forget to join us again next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time here on Block Talk Radio, and also through TuneIn or download our show on iTunes. If you haven't done so, follow the show. Our Twitter ID is @Back9Report with the number 9 in the middle. Remember, 3 weeks till our 100th show and the big giveaway. My name is Carlos Torres, along with Fred Alvader. We wish you to be happy, be blessed, and enjoy the great game of golf. Happy golfing, everybody.
Good night, everybody.